Well, hello. This is Bob Sutherland from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the Raleigh Business News and Observer, the Triangle Business Journal, some from the Wall Street Journal, Reuters, and Bloomberg. Well, Trump's record $4.7 trillion budget relies on strong growth. President Trump proposed a record $4.7 billion for the 2020 on Monday, relying on optimistic 3.1% economic growth projections alongside accounting shuffles and steep domestic cuts to bring future spending into promised balance in 15 years. The deficit is projected to hit $1.1 trillion in the 2020 fiscal year, the highest in a decade. The administration is counting on robust growth, including from the Republican tax cuts, which Trump wants to make permanent, to push down the red ink. Some economists, though, say the bump from the tax cuts is waning, and they project slower growth in coming years. The national debt is currently $22 trillion. Now, even with his own projections, Trump's budget would not come into balance for a decade and a half, rather than the traditional hope of balancing in 10. Still, Trump contended the nation is experiencing an economic miracle. He said in a letter to Congress accompanying the plan that the country's next step must be turbocharging the industries of the future and establishing a new standard of living for the 21st century. Presidential budgets tend to be seen as aspirational blueprints, rarely becoming enacted policy, and Trump's proposal for the new fiscal year, which begins October 1, sets up a slowdown with Congress over priorities, including his push for $8.6 billion to build the Mexican border wall. Well, some employees at the Wells Fargo say that the culture hasn't changed at the bank. Wells Fargo has spent years publicly apologizing for deceiving customers with fake bank accounts, unwarranted fees, and unwanted products. Its top executives say that because they have eliminated the aggressive sales targets that spurred bad behavior, the bank's culture has changed. Now, many employees say that is news to them. There is no evidence that employees are secretly opening accounts in customers' names or tricking them into buying unnecessary auto insurance as some did in the past. The bank has altered how it pays workers and added safeguards to catch bad behavior. But Wells Fargo workers say they remain under heavy pressure to squeeze extra money out of customers. Some have witnessed colleagues bending or breaking internal rules to meet ambitious performance goals, according to interviews with 17 current and former employees and internal documents reviewed by the New York Times. Well, locally, Rocky Mount excited to see the Department of Motor Vehicles headquarters coming to Rocky Mount. The planned move of the Division of Motor Vehicles headquarters from Raleigh to Rocky Mount next year is causing angst among its more than 400 employees who must decide whether to make the longer commute or look for another job. Some Raleigh and Wake County politicians also worry about the departure's impact on Southeast Raleigh, a part of the city that has struggled economically. But an hour east, the Council of State's approval last week to move DMV into the former home of Hardee's hamburger chain on North Church Street was eagerly anticipated. David Combs, a real estate broker who has been mayor of Rocky Mount since 2007, says, quote, "We're very excited about it. The prospects of 400 or 500 people coming to work every day at the DMV is a great opportunity for Eastern North Carolina, not just Rocky Mount." Supporters of the move say despite the hardship it may cause employees, Raleigh will not miss the DMV jobs, which pay an average of $43,183 a year. The Triangle's diverse economy is still roaring, they say. Well, Amazon's bargaining tactics extend far beyond New York when Texas officials pushed Amazon to pay nearly $270 million in back sales taxes in 2010. Amazon responded by closing its only warehouse in the state and scrapping expansion plans there. 2 years later, the officials agreed to waive the past taxes in exchange for Amazon opening new warehouses. A similar scene played out in South Carolina, where officials decided in 2011 to deny Amazon a sales tax break. After threatening to stop hiring in the state, the company got the tax exemption by promising to hire more people. Now, in New York, Mayor Bill de Blasio called it a shock to the system when Amazon, facing criticism for the deal it reached to build a headquarters in the city, abruptly dropped the plans. Governor Andrew Cuomo is still trying to woo them back, but the reversal mirrored the company's interaction with officials in other states. Virtually all of America's largest businesses drive a hard bargain with governments, angling for benefits and financial incentives. Amazon, though, often plays politics with a distinctive message: give us what we want, or we'll leave and take our jobs elsewhere. The tactics help Amazon squeeze as much as possible out of politicians. Well, China suggests compromise on trade with the United States. A senior Chinese trade official called on Saturday for a compromise between the U.S. and China that could make a trade deal easier to reach this spring. But it could also lead to a more fragile agreement, which could fall apart quickly should trade frictions rise again. Now, over the past year, the most contentious issue in the country's trade talks has been the Trump administration's demand for what it calls an enforcement provision, which it says China must accept in exchange for any reduction in the extra tariffs President Donald Trump imposed last year on $250 billion in imports from China. Well, while we own President Trump, headline, Trump expected to seek $8.6 billion for the border wall in the new budget. President Trump will seek that in his new budget to build the U.S.-Mexican border wall, according to two administration officials, setting up another showdown with Congress, which has resisted giving him more money for his signature campaign promise. The request would more than double the $8.1 billion already available to the president after he declared a national emergency at the border in order to circumvent Congress once lawmakers refused his funding demands. That standoff led to a 35-day partial government shutdown, and that's the longest in American history. The officials confirmed that the request was part of Trump's spending blueprint for the 2020 budget year that begins October 1. That document, which sets the stage for negotiations ahead, proposes boosting two defense spending to $750 billion while reducing non-defense accounts by 5%, with cuts recommended to safely net programs used by many Americans. The plan sticks to budget caps that both parties have routinely broken in recent years and promises to come into balance in 15 years, relying in part on economic growth that may be uncertain. Well, the McClatchy Company last week reported a net loss of $27.5 million in the fourth quarter of 2018 and a continued growth in digital subscriptions and digital-only advertising revenue. This, of course, is a company that owns Raleigh's News and Observer. The Sacramento-based publisher of 30 newspapers saw a 51.1% year-over-year increase in digital subscriptions, ending the year with 155,000 digital-only subscribers. Now, digital-only subscriptions have increased in 11 straight quarters. Their revenues grew by 5.2% for the fourth quarter in 18. It also surpassed print advertising revenue in the second half of 18. Total advertising revenues were down 17% compared to the fourth quarter of 17, but because the fiscal quarter was 1 week shorter than the previous year, the revenue decline was 12.7% when adjusted for comparable time periods. Total 2018 revenues were $807 million, down 10.7% compared to 2017. Net loss for the year was almost $80 million, which included an after-tax write-down on newspaper mastheads of $37 million. In the context of a business environment that continues to be challenging for the local media industry, we made significant progress in our digital transformation while delivering on our mission of producing strong, independent local journalism in the public interest that is essential to the communities we serve, according to McClatchy CEO Craig Foreman. Well, locally, Sarah Glines, he's the regional publisher of McClatchy's Carolina's Newsrooms and president and publisher of the News and Observer, will take on an expanded role as regional publisher of the company's East Regions on April 15. Glines has headed up the Carolinas region for the past 3 years. Included in her new role will be a total of 17 McClatchy media companies. Her expanded role comes with the departure of East Region publisher Alexandria Vilott, who is leaving to become chief executive officer for the Baptist Health South Florida Foundation. She says, "My top priority is to continue to make sure we are meeting the needs of our readers, digital audiences, and our business partners today and long into the future. What we do is important, and I am committed to making sure that the Miami Herald, El Nuevo Herald, and all of McClatchy's newspapers are doing work that makes a difference in our communities." Well, locally, the State Farmers Market restaurant is known for great biscuits, and now it's famous for great kindness. The restaurant was closed last week as the staff took off for Disney World on the boss's dime. Restaurant owner Gypsy Gillum and 53 people, about 20 employees plus their families, loaded a charter bus bound for Disney World. Some workers had worked at the restaurant for decades, while others had worked just a matter of months. All meals, hotels, transportation, and Disney World tickets were covered by Gilliam. "It's such a happy, magical place for me," Gilliam said in a phone interview with the News and Observer Thursday. She goes on to say, "I just wanted to do something special for them." She first thought of the magical road trip on last fall. After a busy week around the state fair, she said to a tired line cook, "We just need to go to Disney World." It became the offhand comment she couldn't shake from her brain. She hadn't been in decades since she took her son, Tony, when he was a kid. He's now an adult, and she says, "I thought Disney World was perfect because it would work for all ages. Most have never been, and I wanted them to have that opportunity. To see the sheer delight on the faces of the adults and the absolute joy of the kids was priceless." Well, Selectus, a biopharmaceutical company that makes cancer treatments, plans to create 200 jobs in Raleigh in exchange for more than $4 million in incentives. The French company, which uses gene editing technology, plans to set up a manufacturing facility at the Sumner Business Park in North Raleigh and invest nearly $69 million in its facility. The incentive package was approved at an Economic Investment Committee meeting in Raleigh on Thursday, and then announced at the North Carolina Capitol in an event attended by Governor Cooper, Raleigh Mayor Nancy McFarlane, and several other state and local officials. I spent a lot of time working in the life sciences area because we know that it's such a fruitful market for good-paying jobs for North Carolina, Governor Cooper said. The rest of the country and the rest of the world knows that North Carolina is a place for the life sciences and pharmaceutical manufacturing. People are talking about us because of our great community colleges and universities and our amazing workforce. The average wage for the jobs is expected to be just in excess of $100,000 a year, which is greater than Wake County's average wage of $58,138. Well, staying locally for another minute or two, J.P. Morgan Chase to open two bank branches in the Triangle. One of the largest banks in the United States officially announced plans to enter the Triangle market on Wednesday, confirming that it will open branches in Chapel Hill and Raleigh. Last year, the Department of Treasury granted the bank approval to bring Chase branches to Chapel Hill and Raleigh, though a spokesman for the bank would not confirm to the News Observer what Chase's plans were. The two Triangle branches were announced as part of a larger nationwide expansion that includes states across the Southeast and Midwest. The Chapel Hill location would be at the Carolina Square development on Franklin Street, and the Raleigh location would be coming to the under-construction Midtown East Shopping Center on Wake Forest Road. Chase branches will also be opening in Charlotte. Last year, the bank said it would open up 400 new branches over the next 5 years and hire 3,000 more branch-based employees. Currently, the company has 5,130 branches in 23 states. The company views its physical branches as a strong magnet for new customers and deposits. More than 70% of our deposit growth has been driven by households that use branches, according to Michael Fusco, Southeast Communications Director for J.P. Morgan Chase. He says, when you are making those really big financial decisions, we find customers still want to come in for one-on-one advice. Well, locally, another story we have here from the News and Observer's business section. After two generations of being owned and operated by members of the Earp family, Earp Seafood on South Saunders Street in Raleigh is changing hands. Now, WAJ Management, an apartment manager and developer, bought the property from Nancy Earp Salmon, the daughter of the store's founder, on Monday for $880,000. That's according to Wake County property records. Now, for now, things will continue on normally at the seafood market at 1414 South Saunders Street. Jim Adams, director of the development and acquisitions for the Raleigh-based WAJ Management, told the News and Observer that there are no definitive plans for the 0.6 of an acre property and that the company plans to keep operating the business as is. Daniel Stewart, Salmon's son-in-law, who has been running the store for the past 8 years, will still operate the business day to day. He goes on to say, it is our hope that Daniel will be greeting happy customers for many years to come. The new ownership understands the importance of family and tradition, and it is our goal that customers will continue to see and feel that respect whenever they visit Earp's Seafood. That's $880,000 for 0.6 of an acre. Well, United States stocks slid after the European Central Bank unveiled plans to deploy additional stimulus, raising fresh worries about the health of the global economy. Lingering questions about trade relations and the world economy have weighed on the stock market's 2019 rebound. The ECB's messaging brought those worries to the forefront showing investors that central bankers have become increasingly concerned about the slowdown across the eurozone. The central bank said that it would leave interest rates unchanged at least through the end of the year, months longer than investors had previously expected. It also added that it would launch a fresh batch of ultra-cheap long-term bank loans. Well, Iowa hog farmer Howard Hill is feeling the pinch from President Trump's get-tough trade policies. His pigs are selling for less than it costs to raise them. It's a hit that Hill is willing to take for now, but his understanding also comes with a caution flag for the president. He says, "We have patience, but we don't have unlimited patience," says Hill, who raises about 7,000 hogs a year near the central Iowa town of Cambridge. The president's willingness to pick trade fights with multiple trading partners at once has set off volleys of retaliatory tariffs, driving down the price of pork, corn, and soybeans in political bellwether Iowa and elsewhere, and contributing to a 12% drop in net farm income nationally last year. At issue are trade talks with China over intellectual property theft and a new deal with Canada and Mexico to replace NAFTA that is waiting congressional approval. Those efforts could take months to complete. Well, locally, over in Cary-based Epic Games has dominated the video game world with its popular battle royale-style game Fortnite since it was released in 2017. The game's success, with hundreds of millions of users, has propelled the privately held Epic Games to a $15 billion valuation and caused media companies such as HBO to look over their shoulders and call Fortnite more of a threat than Netflix. But in the past month, a new competitor in the battle royale space has gained significant momentum, growing at a rate even faster than Fortnite did when it first came out. Apex Legends, a new game from Electronic Arts, reached 50 million registered players in its first 28 days online, the company said this week. It took Fortnite 16 weeks to match that same number, according to data from Roundhill Investments, a firm that follows the esports industry. Pardon me. Apex Legends also broke a record for most single-day hours of ownership. Apex Legends also broke a record for most single hours of viewership on Twitch. There was a hyphen there between V-I-E and W-E-R-ship, so it is viewership. My apologies. In some ways, the success of Epic Games has allowed Apex Legends to burst onto the scene. The two games are similar in the fact that they are free to download and involve a fight for survival format where players fight each other to the death. Traditional video game makers are having to play catch-up to the Epic Games model, which makes revenue off Fortnite. Well, Duke Energy claims spots among the largest U.S. wind projects. More on the way, Duke Energy Renewables is an owner in two of the nation's 10 largest land-based wind farms. That's according to a new ranking by the renewable energy industry news publication Recharge, and the company says it has an appetite for more. Now, Chris Fallon, vice president of Duke Renewables, says, "We are bullish on the business. We have a lot of opportunity with large corporate partners that have sustainability goals and are pushing for more clean energy." Duke Renewables' massive Los Vientos wind farm, more than 400 turbines built in five phases over 4 years, is the second largest in the United States. The 912-megawatt project in South Texas is just edged out by the 946-megawatt Alta wind farm near Los Angeles. Carl Eric Stromsta reports for the online publication. A more distant third place goes to the 845 Shepherd's Flat project in northern Oregon. Duke's other entry in recharges ranking holds 10th place. That is the 593-megawatt Sweetwater project in West Texas. Well, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina and Cambia executives say their newly announced partnership is about the potential that comes from combining two massive insurers' revenue and customer base and bargaining power, not necessity. Now, on Tuesday, the two companies announced the launching of a strategic affiliation, consolidating management, administrative, operational, and other corporate services under a Cambia named Roof, while maintaining two independent companies of the original name. Following the announcement, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina CEO, Dr. Patrick Conway, who will serve as CEO of the new entity, and Cambia CEO Mark Gens, who will serve as executive chair, in an interview with the TBJ, say the move is about combining power, not shedding weight. Well, a Maryland-based company with a large Southeast footprint is looking to appeal to America's aging population by adding to its line of homes targeted at people age 55 and up in the Triangle. Dan Ryan Builders calls its communities designed for an older population. Elevate Homes already has a community in Clayton that is branded Forge Creek at Flowers Plantation. That location boasts a pool, clubhouse, fitness center, spa, and even a club bar, in addition to hiking and walking trails. The company plans to begin selling at Adeline Place this summer in Fuquay. A formal opening is expected in September or October. Well, just some tidbits from the Wall Street Journal. Concern over sluggish growth is causing central banks to shift tax as the ECB unveils surprise plans to stimulate the Eurozone's flagging economy, and Fed officials signal their growing reluctance to raise U.S. rates at fall. I think I covered that in an article a little earlier. Now, hedge fund Hildene has tossed investment entities of Purdue's Cyclers due to the company's ties to opioids. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. I hope you've enjoyed it, and be sure to listen next time. I'm Bob Sutherland, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Today's reading of Money Matters is underwritten by Carter Glass Insurance Agency. They've served our community since 1974 and can be reached by dialing 919-781-1973. The content of the program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org.